Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody to a special Swapcast here on Somewhere in Vegas and also on WombatSports.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm also on with my co-host, the very talented Serena Southpaw is on with us as well. I'm very privileged. Oh, first of all, I should say, you know, want to say hi, Serena?
Of course I do. Hey, everybody. Sorry, I've just didn't want to interrupt thunder over there.
Okay, and I'm very privileged to have a very talented fighter from Bellator MMA. She just got back. She just got back into action, winning her kickboxing badge a couple months ago. Now she heads into the Bellator cage in one of her first ever MMA bouts. Carrie Ann Melendez is on with us right now. How are you doing, Carrie?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Again, congratulations on the kickboxing. I mean, how was it for you to get back in the ring and back into action after such a long absence?
You know, it felt great. I was ready to do it and excited. So, you know, my camps went well, and you know, I won both fights. So, you know, everything was all good.
Yeah. What was your biggest hurdle getting back into training after such a long absence?
You know, I think just the dynamic in the Melendez household was took a second to get used to, especially because right after, you know, my kickboxing bout, my husband had a fight 4 weeks later. So it was a little tough on, you know, in our household. But, you know, otherwise, I've never stopped training. And, you know, physically, I felt great. And so, yeah, it's the hardest part was just the dynamic in the Melendez household.
How has it been with the family to kind of, you know, get back in that situation where you're training and Gil is training and, you know, kind of that dynamic, and have they been chipping in to help out around the house since obviously you two have a lot of time in terms of getting ready for your fights?
It was a little bit difficult for my last fight just because he was in camp, but I'm lucky enough that my mom lives with us, so she helps out with my daughter and some of the, you know, the chores that go along with having a child. But, you know, him and I training, we didn't train together. We were just at the gym at the same time, and it was fine. And when we're at home, we just relax and try to spend some family time and unwind. So, you know, that was fine. And for this upcoming fight, you know, my husband decided to not accept a fight until next year so he can focus on being my head MMA coach. So I thought that was awesome.
I mean, yeah, having Gil as a not only your MMA coach, but also, I mean, to have a top-notch grappler in Gil, you know, be there for you. I mean, how is that for you in terms of making that transition over from being a kickboxer to an MMA fighter?
You know, I think it gives me a little bit more confidence than I would have had otherwise. You know, when he says I'm ready, you know, I believe him, and I have, you know, he has faith in me, and I have faith in his coaching, and I also have an awesome striking coach, the Wonder Man. So together, I think we were a great dynamic and a good team. But yes, Gilbert took the time to watch all my grappling sessions and to make sure my MMA game as a whole was up to par, or else he wouldn't let me get in there and do it.
There's a lot of great female fighters out of your gym as well. I mean, tell me a little bit about that team and how they've been helping you out in terms of this, you know, being able to make your MMA debut over at Bellator.
Definitely. Leslie Smith is one of my main training partners. You know, we help each other out, so I'm lucky to have her. And then we have a whole bunch of awesome grapplers and strikers in the gym, and some people come and visit. So I felt, you know, lucky that people come through and I get to test myself against different styles, different matchups, and see how I do. But, you know, Leslie has been a real asset in my camps, and, you know, she's there for me, and I get to do some sparring with somebody who's awesome and, you know, who's bigger and stronger than me. So it's a great test.
I absolutely love Leslie. She's one of my favorite people to interview. She's an absolute sweetheart, and she really does tell it like it is as well. And that's a very rare combination in terms of an interview. So she's also ultimately talented as well. I look forward to seeing her fight coming up as well. So, Serena, you have any questions?
Me too.
Well, my question for anybody who goes into either, you know, who does kickboxing and MMA, which one's your favorite? Which one do you prefer? I mean, I'm still Amy and everything, but I started out in Muay Thai first, and then I jumped into MMA. I mean, I miss Muay Thai, but, you know, I kind of don't have as much opportunities, I feel, in MMA as in Muay Thai as I'm in, like, finding MMA sites. So, also, on the topic of Elizabeth Smith, love her. She's very fun. Really her Spartan partner when she came to Syndicate that one time. And she's always fun to catch up with when I'm at Invicta events. So.
Definitely love her. She's amazing. For I agree with you. You know, Muay Thai, there's not that much opportunity out there. Luckily enough, you know, Bellator is trying to raise the kickboxing aspect. And, you know, so I got some good showcasing with that. And MMA, you know, I'll tell you after November 19th to see, you know, see how it is. But I'm excited to do it.
Right.
And I've been doing it for years in training. I've been doing it with training partners. It's funny if any girls come through to the gym, Gilbert's like, go with Carrie and my wife will do it, you know. So I've got to train with a lot of people. So I feel like, you know, I'm ready for it and I'm excited. And I'm excited to put all the martial arts together and test myself. So that's going to be fun and new. And I've been doing Muay Thai for 10 years. So I think something new and it is exciting for me.
Now,
yeah,
you're actually fighting.
I'm down to kind of watch this. So I'm kind of bouncing. I'm actually really excited. I'm excited for this fight, actually bouncing up and down, because I always love seeing, like, you know, debuts of people who do traditionally other martial arts, be it like, you know, some like world class grapplers going to MMA or world class like Muay Thai fighters going into MMA. It always is exciting for me personally to watch. I like to see how the transition, how it affects each and every other person. But I got to feel this has violence written all over it, so I'm really, really excited.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to do it too. And, you know, so, yes, I hope I train real hard, and I just want to put on a good show.
Yeah, now you're relatively close to home for this fight, and, you know, obviously that's obviously a little bit of weight off your shoulders in terms of fighting as well. But is there any added pressure in terms of, you know, obviously friends and family are going to be nearby watching you fight. So is there any added pressure that way?
Yes, there's always added pressure at home. But from my last experience when I went to St. Louis, I like fighting at home better. You know, I feel comfortable here. My daughter's here. I don't have to leave her. So, overall, my family and my close friends are going to love me regardless. So that pressure doesn't faze me too much.
Yeah. Now, you know, in California, there's early weigh-ins. I mean, how's that been for you to maybe have that a little bit off your shoulders, that you can be able to weigh in a little bit earlier, you know, and to be able to, you know, like I said, be able to eat a little bit or drink a little bit better and a little bit earlier before, you know, so you can get rehydrated and all that before your fight.
You know, in my last couple of kickboxing fights, you know, I cut some weight, but 120 was easy, and this one's going to be 115. So I think this will be I'll be happier that I can rehydrate and eat more, but it's kind of a lot of work when you have to do the morning weigh-in and there's a mock weigh-in. I wish the morning weigh-in could just be the whole shebang in general, rather than getting to rest and then going back and have to do that. You know, it would be nice if it was just in the morning.
Personally, I'd love it like what Invicta does, where, I mean, they don't even, you know, just dress up, you know, dress up nicely, do the face-offs and call it a day. But,
right.
You know, so I'm interested to see where that kind of leads in terms of that. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to say these. Now, you're saying that you're fighting at 115. Now, how's the cut been going? Was it something that, you know, that was in the back of your mind when you're first coming back, that, you know, you wanted to try maybe going to 125 first and then 120 and then 115 and kind of gradually go down like that?
You know, I've always been a 120-pounder when I did my Muay Thai fights. So, you know, 125, I was a little sketchy even about doing that, but they were awesome. And, you know, Bellator has, my two kickboxing matches has been at 120. And then this one, they're like, okay, well, you know, we're a couple girls. These are, you know, they're going to do, they'll fight you at 115. And then finally they confirmed an opponent, and it was just, it is what it is. But it wasn't planned as a slow transition, but, you know, I don't think I'm a big 125er. So I think this is, you know, we'll see how I feel after the weight cut.
Yeah, I know they have a really deep, Bellator has a semi-deep 125 division. They have a lot of talented girls there. Are you kind of hoping that Bellator goes down to a 115 class and brings some of the 115ers in?
I think so, you know, but I can't really confirm that until after next weekend. But I think so, just because, you know, I have never even fought at 125 yet. I've only done 120, so... And before I'm doing 125, I'm doing 115. So I think it would be, you know, if everything goes to plan and I go in there and I put on a great show and I get the W, you know, hopefully they'll want to bring in some 115-pounders for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, 125 and 115 are very, very deep in terms of talent. So, and there's a lot of talent that hasn't, you know, haven't signed any major promotions yet that are still making their way up. So it'll be interesting, to say the least, in terms of that. Sabrina, you have any questions?
No, I'm listening to all this. I'm trying to – I don't know how people can be so small. I mean, I'm a 135er. Every time there's people smaller than me, I'm like, how? But I like my food too much. So there's one reason why I'm not – why I don't go anywhere below 135. But that's one of many.
Yeah, now
my diet's
definitely now have you – Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, no, I was just saying my diet definitely has been a change, and I don't like being restricted on food.
Man, me neither.
Has Gil been helping you out on that in terms of that? You know, or do you have a person that's helping out with your nutrition and your weight cut?
Gilbert does. He, you know, he helps out. He's like a full-on coach. I just told him you need to learn how to braid hair, and then you'd be awesome. But, yeah, he's been helping me out with my weight cut. But but he definitely can get up the weight easier than me. So it's a little different for when he's, like, telling me things. But he has awesome insight about it. And I see him go through it. He makes it every time. He's a pro. And then we also have a company in San Francisco named Meal Made, and they've been putting some healthy, delicious food together for me. And so that's been making things easier also.
Yeah. Now, you know, obviously that's great. That's great to be able to have a supportive husband like that. So I believe Gil's probably going to be cornering you as well. Anybody else that's going to be in your corner for this fight?
It's going to be Gilbert, Leslie Smith, and then my head striking coach, Johnson on the Woodman.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's great to be able to see, you know, see you kind of do this and all that as well. And, you know, dip your feet in the water, as it were, in terms of the MMA cage. And, I mean, it's great to be able to see that you have this opportunity where you can do both kickboxing and do MMA both. A lot of these girls, a lot of these fighters are doing the same exact thing, that they're wanting to do both and expand their horizons. I mean, some of these girls are even taking boxing matches outside of it, or taking some grappling competitions to keep themselves sharp. I mean, is that something that you're looking forward to as well? Maybe you take a couple of grappling competitions outside of you know, Bellator kickboxing or Bellator MMA, just to keep yourself sharp.
Definitely, because after this fight, I'm going to take a little break and then focus on my husband and when he confirms his next fight, and then I won't confirm my next fight until he's done with his. So in the meantime, I'll want to do some grappling tournaments, definitely.
I think that would be awesome. You know, it would be interesting to say the least. I mean, there's quite a few opportunities now. It seems like there's a lot of breakout in terms of female grappling competitions. Eddie Bravo's Invitational has had quite a few female matches. Submission Underground just announced that they're doing a female bout between Misha Tate and Jessica Eye. I'd be interested to see you face somebody pretty interesting at one of those camps, if we could possibly do that as well. So we'll have to see what happens. I mean, they have the best of both worlds, test your skills and still get a paycheck. So we'll
also
have to see what happens
those,
after fight, that.
those fight to win play shows are actually happening. FC and Andrea, KGB Lee, and a few others grappling those. I think Raquel Paolui was on one of them too. So yeah, those seem interesting for anybody who's wanting to grapple and still make a paycheck doing as well, in case the other venues seem to not work.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll definitely look into all of that after this fight.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Serena.
I was just going to ask, like, if do you have, do you feel, com- do you have a, Why am I drawing a blank today? Pardon me. Do you have any specific game plan for your fight coming up that you feel comfortable disclosing or anything, or should we all just wait for fight day?
You know, I watch a lot of tape on my opponents. I'm not the type that doesn't. We like to break things down and train specific things and like to visualize a lot. So I know my opponent is shorter than me, and in the fight that I seen online, she took a girl down and she controlled her pretty well on the ground, and she's a purple belt and she's a southpaw. So, you know, of course, like, I want to keep it striking because I believe I'm the better striker, but I definitely even want to go to the ground because, you know, I want to test where I'm at in the MMA grappling. So, you know, I have specific things that I've been drilling and that I'm ready for. So, you know, now it's just time to put it to test. So not too much revealing of the game plan, but I definitely know what she likes to do and that she's a short southpaw and that she's a grappler.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these girls that you're facing, obviously will have experience in terms of having some fights, even if that's amateur. I mean, you know, that's obviously got to be a little disconcerting, but you know, having a coach like Gil says a lot, and having, you know, a really strong team behind you with Leslie as well to have a lot against into as well. What's your kind of your thing about just jumping into the pool with both feet basically and going into the pro pool this you know, without any amateur experience? Do you think that that, you know, you've prepared pretty well for this, and how, you know, how has that been in terms of that mindset?
You know, I think I'm ready for this. You know, I don't want to go back, and if I had the chance to do amateur, I would still do what I'm doing. And, you know, I think I have combat experience, so I don't think it's that far off or that she has that many fights where it's going to be, you know, too much. Yes, she does have experience, and she won both of them. So, you know, I like the test. And, yeah, I think, you know, having some Muay Thai matches also give me some experience also.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be great to be able to see you, like I said, again, in the cage. It's really great. I mean, like I said, San Jose. And you're going to be on television, which, you know, you've been before with the Bellator kickboxing as well. You know, how is it mentally for you to come into, you know, coming, like I said, you've already mentioned that, you know, there is a little bit of pressure coming in, but just to be going into that crowd, which I'm pretty sure the crowd's going to be very pro you coming in and being able to hear those cheers when your name is called. What does that mean to you, and how you think about that mentally, or is that something that you kind of just blank out and just get into the zone and get ready to fight?
Right, I kind of zone out. I don't really I kind of run out at you know, the last couple of fights that I did. I don't really think about that, you know. It doesn't even come to my mind. I guess maybe visualizing a couple of fights, I could see, you know, them calling my name and me running out, but I don't really think that's it's a big thing for me. I kind of just stay in the zone, and you know, everything is just focused, pinpoint in on what I'm about to do and my game plan and going into the fight. I don't really see the audience. I don't shake anyone's hands. I don't give high fives, and you know, I just try to get in there and get the job done.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, what are your preps, you know, right before the fight? I mean, are you listening to music? Are you just, you know, just laying down? Some people actually like to take a nap. You know, what's kind of your preps in the back locker room before your name's called to fight?
I kind of, you know, of course, when I get my warm-up in, but I listen to music. Yeah, I don't really sleep, but I close my eyes, do a little meditating, and just try to stay calm and relaxed. You know, I do the best when I'm just calm and not try to get too hype.
Do you have a song picked out, though, where you're coming out to?
I think they're going to use the same song. I'm going to come out to Portishead, Wandering Star.
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty cool song, and Serena, do you have any other questions?
No, I mean, personally, I'm probably one of those people who try and take a nap backstage. Though it's either that or I'm too hot.
Yeah,
I always have a weird thing. Like I don't think there's ever one steady scenario of how I am when I'm backstage. I'm either like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to do this. Or I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to put my hat over my head. I'm just going to take a snooze. So it's interesting how the fight thing works. Is you got that whole jumble of emotions. I think that video that Cowboy put out one time, Cowboy Cerrone, it really hit close to home for, I think, almost every fighter on how it feels for getting ready for a fight. I mean, you're working your butt off, you're ready for it, and then it's like, you wake up and say, oh, wait, today's fight day. Whoops. Like, for me, it comes faster than I expect it. But, you know,
yeah.
But at the end, it's always fine. It's like, you go out there, you do your thing, so.
Definitely. You know what? I agree with that. I think every fight, you know, I haven't done the same ritual. Everything's different on how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one last question from me, and that's, have you ever been over to Thailand to train, and is that something that you want to do in the future?
I would love to do that. You know, I definitely have not, and my coach is from Thailand. He's a man in Thailand. He's a 2-time Lumpini champ, Johnson on the Wooden Man. So, he's offered to take us a couple times, but this was our daughter. We didn't want to bring her, but now she's old enough. So, you know, my husband and I actually have been talking about that, going together and bringing our daughter and training there. So definitely in the near future, we want to go.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I've got friends in there. I have a documentary about a female fighter that's over there, currently holds the record for most fights over there, for a Westerner. It would be interesting to say the least, if you ever get your chance to get out there, because it seems like a lot of strikers get a lot better once they hit Thailand and do some training out there and come back. I've seen so many fighters striking just get so much better. So it'd be interesting to see if that ends up being the case. Yeah, I mean, I want to mention November 19th on Spike TV. Go ahead and watch Carrie Ann fight in her MMA debut. It'll be great to be able to see her in the cage in San Jose. And she's on Twitter at Carrie Melendez 415. And I'm assuming you're on Instagram as well, Carrie?
Yeah, same thing, Carrie Melendez 415.
Yeah, and then also on Facebook, make sure to check her out there as well. Carrie, always a pleasure to be able to talk to you. Maybe we'll talk to you again soon, as soon as your next fight comes up as well. Make sure to say hi Leslie from Mark and Serena, and best of luck to you coming up on your fight on the 19th.
We'll be watching.
Oh, thank you both so much. Thank you.
You have a nice day. Thank you, Carrie.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Carrie.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, still here, Serena?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, great to be able to hear from Carrie. I have yet to meet her in person, and I'm pretty sure that'll happen soon, because, if she runs with Leslie, I'm going to, at times catch up with Leslie once in a while. But it's great to be able to see her and how she's kind of training in and all that as well. I mean, she's one of those people where she's a mom on the side of everything, and this could come, her coming back from such a long layoff and then looking really great from a standpoint in her kickboxing. I'm interested to see how she does at Bellator. And interesting, she says 115. She's going down to 115. Bellator doesn't have a 115 division yet. I'm interested to see if it winds up that she ends up winning this fight. I won't be surprised if suddenly Bellator says, okay, we're opening up on 115 division now.
Have Bellator open more women's divisions. And quite honestly, I have mad respect. Like, my biggest thing is I have mad respect for women who are fighting in MMA and also are mothers on the side too. I mean, unfortunately, I'm also one of those people like, I haven't had an opponent. I had one opponent. That was a while ago. That was in my Muay Thai days, where I actually had an opponent who was a mom, and I kind of felt a little weird. I'm like, I'm going to beat up someone who's a mom. How are they going to explain this to their kids? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm saying something, should I beat me up? Fuck this. And then I got that moment of, empathy kind of got tossed out the window. But, if she does go to Thailand, I'm very curious to where she'll want to train at. I mean, personally, I had fun training in Phuket, and I'm hoping to save. I'm trying to save up so I can go back sometime too and train over there for a little bit, have a little traincation, as I call them. But yeah, I would love to see Bellator open more divisions. I would love to see, because, you know, having more spot, more venues for women to jump into, be it MMA or kickboxing, it's always needed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and what's going on with boxing right now, if you guys haven't checked out the site recently, I wrote a really great article about how women's boxing is finally getting its platform in 2017. And it's already starting this month because we're seeing two-time Olympic gold medalist Clarissa Shields turn pro, and her fight's going to be televised. Katie Taylor, which I won't be surprised if her fight is going to be televised as well. But we're seeing that that there's going to be resurgence in terms of the boxing world as well. So there'll be opportunities for some of these ladies to get boxing matches as well on a bigger stage. They'll be able to be on television on major undercards. So it's going to be a very interesting year in terms of the combat sports world as a whole come 2017. And it's starting really early with this month. Like I said, Clarissa, I'm really looking forward to seeing her boxing debut. As well as Katie Taylor's. And I believe, if I remember correctly, I think it's Katie that has two back-to-back fights. Or is it Clarissa? I think it was, no, actually, I think it's, yeah, I think it's Katie that has back-to-back fights. But it's been interesting to say the least. We've been getting a little bit of momentum in terms of the women's boxing, but yeah, it's been interesting to say the least in terms of that. So, yeah, there'll be more opportunities. And then, like I said, Submission Underground, I mean, I versus Tate is going to be interesting in terms of that high profile. I won't be surprised if Flow Combat crashes because Flow Resnar
right?
Grappling crashes because of that card. To have Dan Henderson versus John Jones as the main event, co-main event is Jessica I versus Misha Tate. That site's probably gonna say crash because a lot of people are gonna go and watch that battle.
Yeah, they better have multiple servers ready for this thing because holy crap!
Yeah.
I didn't even know that it got. I was already like excited for I versus Tate, although my heart's also ripping in half a little bit because I love them both. But oh my god, Henderson and Bones Jones grappling, ooh boy, this ought to be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting thing. I'm going to watch it. You know, I don't think there's going to be very many MMA fans that are not going to tune in and watch some of that. I mean, knock on wood here, and I'm physically knocking on wood right now that Tate comes out unscathed this weekend. But we'll have to see. We'll see what happens there as well. Obviously this weekend's going to be really, really crazy with UFC 205. Three female fights on the cards. Kicking it off, Valdez Carmouche making history again, being the first woman to have a pro MMA fight in New York City, and she'll be facing Caitlin Chookagan, which is going to be really, really cool. That's going to be a really cool match. It'll
be
interesting to see how that one goes.
That.
Yeah, I mean, Liz looked great when I saw her a couple months ago, so.
Yeah. Oh, man, this weekend is going to be lit. I mean, we got student versus teacher in a sense. We got Chookagan going. We got all sorts of – we got the War of the Polish Princesses coming at us. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's a great card, and I'm so happy they got three female matches on that. And all of them are very solid booking matches, so I'm really looking forward to that as well. And again, Leslie, for those of you who haven't heard, Leslie is fighting Irene Aldana. At UFC in January, I believe. No, December.
When
I think December, January.
Oh, December. Because I'm about to say, if it's in January, please let it be on my birthday. Please. It'd be a funny birthday gift. Someone buy me the pay-per-view.
Yeah. I believe it's December, if I remember correctly, but it's UFC and Fox.
Okay,
so,
I can deal with that.
But, I should mention... Because this is crazy. Because I'm going to be down there. I'll be down in Los Angeles because I'm going to celebrate my birthday down in Los Angeles in January. And
January when?
22nd.
Okay, it's after mine, so that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know why Shoe Dog doesn't have that up. Shoe Dog doesn't have it up. Weird.
I thought I heard you type it in the background like a mad scientist.
Yeah, exactly. I was double-checking. But anyway, what I was going to say was that I'm going to be in L.A. for there. They already announced that the big Bellator fight is going to happen there. UFC on Fox 22. It doesn't say when it is. Give me 1 second. I got to figure that out. But anyway, the big fight between Chael and
Tito.
Tito is going to happen that weekend, and then they just announced that there's going to be a UFC on the exact same day in Anaheim. Yeah, it's December 17th for Leslie versus Irene. But it's kind of funny that, you know, they're going to be within, I think, about a 20-mile radius of each other, you know, same day, just different sections of Los Angeles. And 208, we don't know who's going to be on that card yet. So, you know, I was going to be down there anyway. I'm kind of leaning towards Bellator because I know they'll probably have a female bout. First of all, I know they're going to have a female bout on it. And second, I don't think they're going to have a bout where there's going to be, like, any title fights or anything like that. And three, I'm pretty sure Bellator tickets are going to be a lot cheaper than having to go to the UFC because I'm pretty sure the UFC is going to be expensive. So I may actually go to the Bellator fight to watch to see what's going on there. I'm interested to see who will pop up on that card. But in that night, I'm really interested in seeing Chael Sonnen versus Tito. I've never seen Chael fight in live. And I'm such a Chael fan, I want to go and see it. So
he's fighting a boy
down there.
I remember one time I kind of thanked Tito Ortiz because I was helping my friend Vanessa, who wanted to say hi to him. And I remember, like, shaking his hand. I was like, hey, thanks for doing this for my whole hand. I shit you not, my whole hand fit in that dude's palm. I'm like, oh, my God, he's got bare hands. Like, it was unreal. I'm, like, looking at him. I'm like, yay!
Yeah. You know, and I've met Tito really, really. I think when he was cornering Cyborg and doing a lot of stuff with Cyborg, I've seen him. I haven't physically met him, but you know, I've seen him right near Cyborg when I was there. You know, talking to, you know, getting pictures of Cyborg and all that as well. And you know, when Cyborg was defending her belt, which you know, I'm hoping that the January card she ends up doing that. You know, defending her 145 title. If she doesn't, I fairly think that the Invicta should really consider not, you know, vacating the belt just because she hasn't been able to do it. And it's not, I don't think it's any of Chris's fault at all. It's just that her contract is under the UFC, and the UFC is kind of monopolizing her at the moment. But it's hard to keep the division in a status like that. Best I think they can do is probably get an interim title going, and there's quite a few individuals that want to be in that kind of talk. So,
who do you think, if that ever happens, who would you choose? Who would you think would be the most logical choice for interim 145 title?
That's an interesting question. I mean, you know, we got. I'm drawing a blank here for a second. Let me pop off the rankings.
For me, all signs point to a Cindy Dandois and Megan Anderson kind of bout.
Yeah, Megan is on my top of my list. I mean, you know, Cindy's there. Let's see here. You know, let's see here. Peggy needs a win. I won't be surprised if they bring in somebody. I mean, Roberta Payam's still there. You know, and there's a couple people that are kind of off, you know, in terms of that, you know. Charmaine's coming off a win. It would be interesting to see if Charmaine gets a shot, too. I think Charmaine right now, according to the unified rankings, is ranked number 4 in the rankings. Her versus Megan would make sense, you know, so that would make sense, too. Cindy's been back and forth between 35 and 45.
Like a champ. Let me
think
put that out there.
Yeah.
Anybody who bounces weight like that, I think is awesome.
Yeah. You know, and Cindy's fighting again in California, I think, within the next month. You know, so she's obviously not going to she might be available come January, but obviously she's not available for the next card because they've already booked it. So, you know, we'll have to see how this card goes because I think there are a couple of 145 pound matches going on this card. So we'll see how everything kind of winds up in terms of that. So, but yeah, I mean, the 45 division, I'm seeing a lot more girls under the amateur rules are fighting, actually more of them are fighting at 155 than they are at 45, you know, and I think that's an interesting situation in terms of what's going down, first of all, at World Series of Fighting, because if Kayla comes does end up fighting for World Series, Kayla Harrison, I think she's going to be fighting at 155. I don't think a lot of people know this, but there is a pretty good depth at 155. I don't think a lot of people want to drag down. It's strange because 145 is kind of a desert in terms of, you know, of the talent pool, but there are a lot more talented individuals at 55 that just, you know, haven't made the cut down to 45. There's quite a few of them that are amateur, and obviously if Kayla comes in, her first fight is going to be pro, so they want to throw her in against somebody that's really, really experienced. So it'll be interesting. I think they can build a division around Kayla. I think that, you know, people probably don't know is just that, like I said, there's a lot of developing talent at 155, and they've been begging for their own division, and even Vindicta has had a couple of 155 fights. So we'll see kind of where that goes. It would be interesting if Cyborg went up to 155. Her cut wouldn't be as drastic. We'd see some really good talent there too. So we'll see kind of what happens there. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that 155 is actually a little bit more deeper than 145 is. So we'll have to see how that goes.
I wonder if Invicta will put on more 155 fights, because I remember, I think last year they had a 155 pound fight, and it was actually rather entertaining.
Yeah.
Felicia, I forget her last name, but all I remember is she came from Florida and was one of Jamie Moyle's old teammates when she trained in Florida. And she was really nice, and that fight was actually really entertaining. People were like kind of giving second glances because like you could see on everyone's face in that place they've never heard of a female fight at 155 before, especially at the pro levels, but it was a very entertaining opening fight for that card.
And Char was perfectly happy doing that as well. I mean, when she was fighting at 155, that one fight, she was absolutely happy. You know, she didn't have to cut as much weight. You know, she was in a really good mood coming into the weigh-ins, into the fight and all that as well. And that, I mean, that just, you know, for me, that told me a lot. You know, it's like, you know,
right.
Coming into a fight being happy, you know, and having a nice attitude, and she ended up winning, I believe, if I remember correctly. Definitely was a, you know, positive factor in terms of her win. So, you know, we'll see how 155 pans out, but I'm pretty sure that they can easily kind of get that division figured out pretty quickly. So it'll be interesting to see if Invicta, you know, kind of takes that lead, and if the World Series of Fighting does end up developing an actual division. I know when Jessica Aguilar was there, they kept on bringing in people, and that was the problem. They kept on bringing in people. They didn't really develop any talent in terms of division. You know, it's really tough for some of these people, some of these promotions, just to have one star and bring people in. You know, and that's what made Ronda so. I mean, that's what made the 135 division so solid in the UFC. If they did that with Ronda and where they just had one-off fights, then I don't think it would have built as greatly, and we wouldn't see the strawweights come in. You know, there would have been enough competition to be able to do that. So, yeah, I mean, sorry to say, I don't think we're going to get flyweight anytime soon, considering what's going on with WME and their takeover of the UFC. They've been cutting a lot of costs, and it costs money to bring in a new division. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon until they get their situation, themselves situated. By the looks of it, they're going to do a lot more domestic cards. You know, they may go down to Brazil. Obviously, it's a moneymaker, so they have to kind of go to Brazil. But they're probably going to stick in this atmosphere. I don't think they're doing any European cards at all. And by the sounds of it, they're trying to make it a little bit more of a feeder system. They said that they would even be willing to sell off like the UFC Southeast or the UFC West or something like that. But I'm like going, well, there's enough. I think LFA and between LFA and Invicta, I think that you don't need to call it UFC anything. Those two basically are giving you enough talent to be able to call yourselves, you know, to be able to draw from. So it'll be interesting to say the least in terms of that as well. So, yeah, it's been a crazy time in terms of the past couple weeks, this past month, in terms of news.
Hey, you're kidding.
It's been interesting. I mean, come 20, we still got a month left. We've got, you know, a lot of fights and several fights that you just announced. I mean, it seems like every week we're getting two or three fights announced. And there's still a lot going on in December. I think I predicted that there's going to be 660 total fights in terms of the pros this year, in terms of the women's divisions. But that number could be increasing because it seems like every single week I'm getting one or two fights that are going to happen before the end of the year. So I won't be surprised if it's 670, 680. I was hoping for 700, but it doesn't look like it's going to end up being the case. And I think, if I remember correctly, we're going to have over 60, maybe possibly 70 fights in December, which is absolutely insane. So, yeah. So we'll have to see and have to think about awards as soon as that kind of dies down too. And you know, a lot's going on as well. Speaking of awards, the Inspirational Fighter of the Year, I believe, for last year, is now signed with Invicta, Celine Haga. Absolutely happy for her. The story is just so inspirational, and that's why she won the award. This is a gal that went 1-12 in her first 13 fights and came back and went on a really good hot streak. It kind of reminds me of Roxy's hot streak. But I think this is a more of an extreme case because Celine was really not winning fights. Then suddenly she started winning fights, and it was an unbelievable situation where, you know, any other fighter, any American fighter that lost five or six in a row, you know, they would probably hang up their gloves and say, no, there's just no way I'm not going to be able to do it. But here's Celine Haga, who's went 1-12 her first 13 fights, and then finally she started winning. You know, it's great to be able to see, you know, and she's lost a couple times since the streak, but she's won a couple as well. So it's exciting to see her, and I'm believing that if she's signed, she's probably going to be fighting on the January card, which will be right now. Rumor is January the 14th. That's what we're getting, and it'll be back in Kansas City, which is kind of a disappointment. I wanted to go back to Cali, but
yeah,
it's expensive to go to Cali, and I understand that that's the situation, but you know, I think a lot of the fans want to be able to go there instead of having to go to cold and expensive Kansas City. You know,
and I have already a bit of undisclosed beef with figures in Kansas City, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's expensive for me to get to Kansas City. It's just really, really tough for me to go out to Kansas City and, you know, rent a hotel room for a couple nights and then, you know, fly in. I mean, it's just expensive. It's easier for me to go to Los Angeles or Las Vegas. Like I said, it's just that I understand that the reason why they're doing it is probably because they're saving money, because we don't know what's going on in terms of the WME deal, and them in particular. I know they're kind of keeping them around because Fight Pass is doing so well. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of where kind of things set in terms of So, you know, it is kind of sucks that they're going to be stuck in Kansas City for a little while. I would love to go back out and try it, but like I said, it's just way too expensive, and I've got too many other projects going on. Speaking of which, I get to announce this finally. I know people have been waiting for this for quite a while, but I have finally got the chance to get some editing done on it because I wanted to make sure it was perfect to be posted up. And I have to do one thing this weekend, and then it'll be posted on Amazon coming up. I'm going to say Tuesday because everything tends to come out on Tuesday. Young Roy, the story of Sylvie Van Duglis Itui, will be on Amazon starting on Tuesday. So you guys can rent it, you can buy it starting on that day. So just coming Tuesday, just look out for that on Amazon. And I'll have a big, huge post about that as well. So
it's an award-winning story.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was accepted at the Artemis Film Festival this past year. We got to show it there. It's a great story about a Muay Thai fighter, and she's still going at it. She's about at 152. I think she's at 151 right now. This documents her first 100 fights in Thailand. She's currently the record holder right now for the most fights by a Westerner. at 151, and then she's trying to get to 200. So it's really interesting insight into how a fighter's mind is, how a fighter changes over time. There's just so much material in this documentary that I couldn't cram it all into it. It ended up being way too long, so I had to draw back on some stuff, but there's some stuff that I was like, you know, wow, if I ever put it on DVD, there'll be a ton of extras. But that will be out on Tuesday, so you guys will get an announcement on WombatSports.com about that. So you got that as well. Speaking of which, the reason why I'm doing it on this one, I should have a little bit of explanation why I called this Swapcast, is that my other account, the Wombat Sports Podcast account, is frozen right now. The thing is that the company that does the podcasting decided that any of the other, you know, certain podcasts, the reason why this one's still up is because I have a legacy with this account. I've been on this one for 9 years, you know, and we're celebrating my 10th year of podcasting on the Summer in Vegas account. Wombat Sports account has only been up for a couple of years, and they decided, oh, we're going to start charging people for accounts, $12 a month. I don't want to pay $12 a month to do a quick half an hour show that's going on only on once in a while. So once in a while, we'll be doing a Wombat Sports here. I'm going to be doing my regular entertainment podcasts. Hopefully I'll be doing one before the end of the year, because I really do want to get one a month at least, so I can get through the 10th year. But that's why this is a swap cast. That's why we're on this account instead of the Wombat Sports account. So just to kind of let everybody know why that's the situation, that's why that's the case. So there's a little bit of explanation there as well. So I think anything else you want to discuss at all, Serena?
Nothing on the top of my head. I mean, I'm excited for this upcoming Invicta. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I'm excited to see my teammate Jess fight. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, and I should mention that if you guys go to WombatSports.com, on the front page, I think it's the second article now, because I just put the IMMAF article up today. The article right under it talks about Syndicate MMA, a little bit about the gym, and this is a regular going series we'll be having on the site. 303 is going to be next, although I'm waiting on some information that I need from that one, and then I'll post that one up. But Syndicate's already up, and I do go in a little dive in a little bit of the history and everybody that's over there right now, which is a really great lady women's team as it stands right now. 303 will be next. I'll be doing other ones. Jackson's MMA is going to be something I'll be doing in the near future. Obviously, ATT would be one. CSA is going to be one. And ADCC I want to do, because I don't think a lot of people realize how important ADCC is in terms of women's mixed martial arts. Ayaka Hamasaki and Megumi Fujii are out of that gym. And it's one of those things where it's probably the most important female gym outside of the United States. I would even say, outside of the United States. I have to dive into the Brazilian one a little bit better. But outside of the United States, ADCC in Japan is one that's so legendary. I mean, they're one of the first, I think, between them and Jackson's. They were the first two that really just had a full-fledged female team. ATT probably certainly came after that. So please go to wombatsports.com. You'll be able to check that as well. Also, the results from this past weekend. A bunch of stuff. And then International MMA Federation are going to have their European Open tournament coming up a couple weeks. I have a list of competitors. There was a gal that was on the last Invicta that was a champion in the International MMA Federation that ended up winning and impressing a lot of people. So these are where the stars are going to be coming from Europe from now on. You're going to be seeing a lot of these girls, you know, really kind of make their mark in terms of that as well. So we'll see kind of what happens there. But that'll be in a couple weeks. The fights, I guess, I won't be streaming on UFC Fight Pass, but they will be posted on UFC Fight Pass shortly after the tournament is over. So Definitely check that out, and I'll have results obviously on WombatSports.com as they progress as well. I don't think if there's anything else I need to announce, but I think that's pretty much it for me as well. Obviously, I think I saw that you said that you're kind of waiting for the new year in order for you to get another fight.
I kind of wanted to fight in December, but the thing is, I'm a big family person, and I made a promise to see my brother, who is a ballet dancer in North Carolina, very good one at that, promised to see his performance in early December. So, I was hoping for something this month, but nothing kind of, I don't think anything really was there for me. So I'm going to wait till January, February. So, hey, I'm ready. I've been training really hard. I've been really utilizing a lot more boxing, and my striking, my head movement, my jiu-jitsu, my wrestling, everything has just shot up exponentially, and I'm just waiting to redeem myself.
We'll hope. I mean, you know, you really want to try to get that nice little win before you even think about turning pro and all this well. And it'll be interesting to see how
exactly.
The striking has improved in terms of it. I mean, you know, Coach John Wood has done so many wonders for Roxy's striking. It's just amazing to see if that ends up translating for you. So we'll have to look. So, yeah, look out for that. Anyway, I want to mention you guys can follow Serena at Serena Southpaw on Twitter and I believe also Instagram, correct?
Yep.
And also on Facebook. You can find me. You can check out just the articles where the articles are being posted at Wombat Sports on Twitter and at Wombat Sports on Instagram. We whenever I take a trip, that's where usually I drop a couple pictures if I'm interviewing anybody cool. And then I'm going to be and then if you want any commentary from me, because I do some extraneous commentary on my personal Twitter, as well as result. I always post results there, and any comments, or I can answer any of your questions on at WMMA News. That's at WMMA News. You guys can ask any questions you have about it. I've been having quite a few questions about where certain fighters are, and if I don't know, I can at least research a little bit to let you guys know what's going on there as well. So you guys can check that out at WMA News on Twitter. With that in mind, please tune in to Bellator on Spike TV coming up on November 19th. Oh, I do want to mention one thing, too, before I go. Bellator will be having its first ever female fight. It'll be the first ever period female fight in Israel. This is the first time a female fight has ever happened in Israel in terms of MMA. Bellator will be airing that tomorrow night. It's Carla Benitez versus Lena Oxlin-Minkova. And I think it's happening early tomorrow in the morning, and then it'll be airing Friday night on Spike. So definitely check that out as well. It's really interesting, to say the least, for that as well. But Carrie-Anne is actually fighting on November 19th. It'll be the opening. I think it's the opening fight on the card for the for Bellator out in San Jose on the 19th. You guys can watch that on Spike TV on there as well. With that in mind, I believe that is it. We'll wrap. Thanks to all of you for joining us. Please go to WombatSports.com. We'll have all that information taken care of. I'll probably have another Somewhere in Vegas entertainment cast sometime in the next couple weeks. I've got a lot of people that want to be on the show. It's just me hammering out a time for me to do it. So hopefully we'll have that soon. And obviously Serena will be joining me pretty much for it if she has time to be able to do it. So with that in mind, it's an absolute pleasure always, Serena. We'll talk to you soon again.
All right. You know it. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Yeah, no problem. And I'll see you guys in a couple weeks, hopefully, here on Somewhere in Vegas. And like I said, and also the Wombat Sports Podcast, because we're going to start doing it there too. So I'll talk to you guys soon.